As we work our way through the book of Philippians, if you want to go ahead and open and turn there, Philippians chapter 1 will be in verses 12 through 20 tonight. Remember, we're looking at this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church and understanding that he wrote it while he was in prison. So he wasn't at the best time of life for most of us. I don't think any of us in here would shout for joy because we're sitting in prison, but then again, not all of us are in here or Paul. And Paul is expressing his joy and understanding that there are times in life that are not easy, but there is still joy. And we see that Paul is able to, in his life circumstance, he is able to still have joy, not happiness, but he's able to have joy because he has a passion for the spreading of the gospel. And we're going to begin to see that tonight, that the gospel was moving in and through his life, that God was using him, and he had a passion for the spread of the gospel regardless of the cost or hardship that it cost him. I think Paul was quite a wonderful man. I think we all believe that in seeing what God has done in his life. Would you stand with me now as we read from God's Word? Hope you have your copy with you. I always bring that special gracious gift that God gave us. Beginning in verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my chains in Christ have become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord because of my chains, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel, the former proclaiming Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me affliction in my chains. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayers and the provisions of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that which all boldness Christ will even now as always be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Father God, thank you for this copy of this letter. Thank you for this word from Paul. Father, he was writing to explain his situation. And Father, how relevant that is to us today. And Father, I just pray that you would help us by opening our eyes to see and to understand you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I believe at any time God's word is there, but looking at Paul, understanding the situation that Paul was in says a lot to us today, because I would believe we would all say today that our life is not perfect. Our life is not the way we would want it to be. And while we might not be facing the persecution that he was at that moment, I believe every day we begin to face a little more persecution as Christians. We've seen it portrayed out in the last few weeks of direct attacks on people. But understanding that in our life and in our journey and in our walk, we can have joy. We're going to see not always happiness. We've talked about that. There's a difference between happiness and joy. And what I want us to see tonight is that we can live with joy through your purpose in life. Your first thing there on your list is Paul's joy in life through knowing his purpose. Paul's joy in life through knowing his purpose. We began very quickly seeing in Scripture that Paul understood what his purpose was in life. And I believe there are many today that walk this earth, non-believers and believers, that are at a loss for joy and don't experience the joy that they have because they do not understand what their purpose in life is. Now, we're going to see that, what Paul's purpose in life was, and I believe we're going to see a reflection to us. Yes, God has created each of us unique. He has created us each individual, and we each have things that we do, but we all have the same purpose in life. And understanding what Paul understood, he said, actually up in Philippians 1, the very beginning, he said, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ. Paul understood that he was a slave to Christ. Christ had caught him on that road to Damascus. Christ had changed his life, and he was now for Christ. We see in verse 12, it says, now I want you to know, brothers, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. You have the word the gospel on your sheet with some blanks. What is the gospel? This is needs to be understood. I believe we understand it. But today the gospel is used as many different things. But the gospel is what is in Scripture known as the good news. So in your blanks there, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anything else is not the gospel. There are things that are truths, but the gospel, the good news, that changes life, is dealing with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is Jesus Christ, the only way to salvation. That's the good news. And he's talking here to the brethren. I found that very interesting in looking at that brethren, that it's used to denote a group of people based upon the origin of life, when I looked that up. And I said, well, that's interesting, but what are believers? We're all born again into Christ. We all have the same origin of life. That's Jesus Christ. The brothers are brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have come to there. Paul wanted them to understand. There, number one, says Paul's imprisonment was for God's glory and use. Paul knew his purpose. His purpose was to bring glory to God and to be used by God, and that is exactly what happened. He said there at verse 12 that he said, my circumstances, my difficulties, my being in prison is for God's glory. My being in prison is so that God can use me. He says, so that my chains in Christ have become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. The gospel. Paul knew his purpose was to proclaim the gospel. Remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, the situation I'm in right now, he's writing them, whereas some may see this as negative, he says, don't see it. I'm here to be used by God. We see in that verse 13 that he is being used by God. There too, Paul had the opportunity to share with non-believers. Paul is in prison in Rome. He is taken to Rome. He is in prison and he is being chained. Get this. Daily he is chained to a Roman guard. Guess what? He has a captive audience. That Roman guard is not going anywhere without Paul. Paul's not going anywhere without that Roman guard, and they're chained to him. the Roman Praetorium, one of the meanings of that could be talking about the group of guards that are there, some 9,000 to 10,000 men. But it's also probably more talking about the place where he was at. But he's saying, I'm being used by God. This is for God's glory to advance his gospel. I'm tied to a Roman soldier. Everything I write, everything I say, every prayer that I say, every chance I get, I'm sharing the gospel and he can't get away from it. And guess what happens every couple of hours? Those handcuffs are unlocked and another guard is brought in and locked to him. So it's not just one, but the whole time he is advancing and sharing, and these guards are seeing and they know. They know that his circumstance is there because he was sharing the gospel, not that he was a criminal. And they're seeing how his joy in God is shown, and it's spreading throughout the whole group. All the other staff that's in the house see this. They're hearing it. And third, Paul's imprisonment strengthened other believers. He's saying this is for the greater purpose, verse 14, and that most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord because of my chains, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Those who have come to Christ, those other brothers and sisters who are believers, who it says there that they have more courage or more confident. They can speak the word without fear. That word fear is talking about that type of fear that makes you want to run. What do we call it? Fight or flight? This is the flight side. And I believe that those believers he's talking about are like many of us today. When it comes to the opportunity of sharing the gospel, most of us would assume to flight. We get scared. But they're looking at these believers, seeing Paul, not berating the guards, not being negative, not exposing anything, but having joy, understanding that his reason there is moving the gospel forward, sharing the gospel with people that he would have never had the opportunity. Paul would have never had the opportunity to go in and share with these guards, or with the staff, or with the workers, or with the emperor. None of this, but he's able to do that. And these other believers are seeing that, and that's motivating them. And I hope that motivates you. We don't understand Paul. We don't see him in prison. But no, Paul was a real person. Paul was sitting in a place chained up to guards, and he was saying that he has joy because he knows his purpose. His purpose is to bring glory to God and to be used by God. And he sees that, and he has joy because he says, my situation, he said, don't let it bother you. I'm here for a reason. God has put me here, and God is using me to do something that he could not any other way. Secondly, we have Paul's joy in the knowledge of being in the will of God. I think Paul gets the clearer picture than we do. Because if I'm honest with you, sometimes when I get into difficulty or I get into a situation that brings me distress, my first thought is not, thank you, God, I'm right in the middle of your will. What do we think? God, why am I out of your will? Now, it could be that. You need to evaluate quickly. But there are times that we are right in the middle of God's will when we're going through something difficult because he's using us. And Paul knew that there, he pointed out two type of people that were proclaiming the gospel here. One of those is the first one there, the self-centered. Paul said there are some self-centered people out there that are spreading the gospel. I don't know if any of you have ever known any of those, but some who are proclaiming the gospel message, but they're doing it for all the wrong reasons. They're doing it for selfish motives, for selfish gain. See there, verse 15, some to be sure are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, and some from the goodwill. It says the former, there are those proclaiming Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives. thinking to cause me affliction in my chains. Paul said, there are some out there that are preaching the gospel, and they're preaching it in a self-serving way. They're preaching it out of envy. They're wanting people to see them. They are jealous at how Paul is being used by God, and they're trying to bring the light to their self. They're doing it for selfish ambitions. They're wanting to succeed. They're wanting to look better. Look at me. We see some today who get on TV and they proclaim the gospel and they're about getting richer and richer and richer. There's nothing wrong with money, but when you're sharing the gospel for the poor purpose of advancing yourself, you're doing it out of a self-centeredness. They were also wanting, he talks about, he knew that those who were preaching from a self-centered mode was preaching for the purpose of taking his imprisonment, and why he's in prison, making themselves look better, taking advantage of him being in prison, waiting and wanting to hurt his credibility. The second type of people were the Christ-centered people. The Christ-centered people, those who were sharing the gospel out of, verse 15 says, goodwill. Verse 16 says, out of love. What is love? This love they were sharing out of was a strong positive emotions. This love, agape, is the word that describes the nature and the character of Christians. What does it tell us over in John 13? It says, by this you will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. So there were those who really had a heart for the gospel. They had a heart for other people. I'll be honest with you, sometimes in my prayers, when I'm asking God that he would give me the desire to share his gospel, I want the desire to share out of love, not out of obligation. A love and a care for people who, if they don't hear the gospel, they're going to hell. I want to love them. I want to be able to share them. This love is the type of love that God has for his people. That's what Paul is saying, and he knows that how he wants to share is out of his love for other people. But here, verse number 3, Paul was placed there by God for a purpose. Paul understood if we want joy, we need to understand that there are times that we are placed in situations for God's purpose. Look at verse 16. The latter part, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Philippians there at 1:16 talks about the defense and that he was appointed. He understands that God placed him there, God set him there, God established him there, and God did it for a purpose. Let me tell you how he can have joy in that. Understanding that when God places you there, he has a purpose for you. What do we know about God? He has a good purpose for you. God doesn't just say, today I think I'm going to choose Robert and I'm just going to torture him, so I'm going to pick him up just for fun and roll him down. That's not how God is. Paul knew that he was where he was at in this Roman praetorium with these people in this situation to advance the gospel. He was put there, but it says, in defense of the gospel. Help me out. What's the gospel? Three words I'm looking for. Death, burial, and resurrection. The way to salvation. Been asked before, defense, I have to give some people an excuse for God? No, that's not what this is. Let me read this to you. This is one of the resources I said says it better than I can. It says, the speech act of attempting to prove some act or belief to be reasonable, necessary, or right, especially occurring in the court of law. You're giving a defense for the gospel. You're giving proof that it's reasonable. You're giving proof that it's necessary and that it's right. It's the only way. It doesn't matter, and I share sometimes, I get this, and maybe you've heard it before, I don't think. Well, to be frankly honest, I don't care what you think. It's about what the Word says. And the Word says there's only one way. It's not religion. You ought to see the eyes of people when they talk about they don't like religion and they know I'm a pastor. I say, I don't like religion either. Well, isn't that what you're supposed to? I said, no, I'm about a relationship. Religion has got things so distorted and people so messed up. It's about a relationship, and the only way to that relationship is through Jesus, and the only way to Jesus and God is through receiving faith, that death, burial, and resurrection. Does it make sense to a lot of people? And we give that defense for that and explaining that to them. And thirdly, Paul's joy in the gospel being proclaimed. Found this one very interesting. Paul's joy in the gospel being proclaimed. Paul was able to, while in prison, seeing all that was going on, he was able, number one, there under three, Paul was able to rejoice because of the proclamation of the gospel. Verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Paul's saying, I rejoice that the gospel is being proclaimed, even if it's in self-centeredness or in Christ-centeredness. Now, I had to pause there for a little bit and look at it. I'm like, Paul, what do you mean? You see, Paul is getting his focus on God. He's not saying that I have joy over those who are doing it self-centered. What he says is, even though they are self-centered, they are still proclaiming the gospel of God, and people are hearing that, and in that I rejoice. And he can do that because it tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 11, if you want to write that down, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what pleases me, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. He's not rejoicing in the manner, but in that the gospel is being proclaimed. Because it's very clear, he says, that the gospel, the truth of the gospel is being proclaimed. Now those who are doing it self-centeredness, they're going to have to answer for that. But he says that he is able to have joy even though some were proclaiming the gospel for the wrong reasons, but also some were proclaiming the gospel for the right reasons, because they had a love. They had the desire from God. Philippians 18 there, you see him saying, whether pretense or in truth, he says, this I rejoice. Yes, I rejoice. Number two, under three, Paul was able to rejoice because of others. Verse 19 says, for I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayers and the provisions of the Holy Spirit, or of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that this will turn out for my salvation. Some of your Bibles might have it in all caps. He is quoting from the book of Job. Let me tell you what, Job's one that knew about suffering. And Job 13:16 says this, this also will be my salvation, for a godless man may not come before his presence. Paul is saying here that he has joy, and he's talking about salvation. Now, this could be salvation that he feels he's going to get out of prison, but most likely it's referring to his salvation in Christ. Paul is saying, I can have joy because I have salvation. I know what's going to happen. Christ saved me. I have that. He says that there are those who are praying for him, and also the work of Holy Spirit in your life. And tell you what, the work of Holy Spirit is where joy comes from. It will keep you going. It's that witness to who we are. And Paul was able to rejoice because he was not focused on himself, but on Christ. There, number three. Paul was able to rejoice because he was not focused on himself, but on Christ. It was all about Christ for Paul. He was sold out. In his book to Romans, he said, I'm set apart for the gospel. Verse 20 here says, according to my earnest expectations and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul had an earnest expectation, that hope, that conviction of his salvation. He talks about up at verse 6, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Christ came in and began a good work in Paul's life. He saved him. And Christ is constantly making him into what he's going to be. Christ will never let him go until Christ returns and he's in the family, in the household, in that new heaven, in that new earth with God. God is there. He is working and changing. Christ has saved us, and what he has begun, he's not going to stop. He's not going to let you go. He's going to continue to move you on and to advance you. He's going to continue to be yours, the salvation that Christ did. Christ saved him, and Paul knew, whether now or down the road, that it would be finished when he died and went to heaven. It's all about God. It was not about him and his situation. You see there, he said that Christ would be magnified in my body, whether in life or in death. Paul said, I have joy because of what God has done in me, that I'm going to, through my body, I understand my purpose is to bring glory to God and to be used by him to advance the gospel. And he's saying right here that it's all about God. He says, in my life, he says, whether by life, Christ is going to be magnified because people's going to be able to see my testimony, what I'm doing, how I'm proclaiming. I will still be able to speak him. They can see that while I'm in prison, I'm still giving him joy. But he says, or by death, through his testimony that he was faithful to God until death. He said, rather I'm living, and we're going to talk about this next week, rather in life or in death, but whether he's living or in his death, Christ is going to be magnified. And because of that, he can have joy. How can he have the joy? How does he know that Christ will be magnified in his life or death? Because he knew his purpose to bring glory to God. And he knew his purpose of proclaiming the gospel. And that's exactly what he did. He was sold out. He was surrendered. Under your conclusion there, number one, we can experience joy in our lives regardless of our situation or circumstances when we understand our purpose in life. We can experience joy in our lives regardless of our situation or circumstances when we understand our purpose in life. And let me tell you quickly, your purpose in life is the same purpose in life that Paul had. The first thing, your purpose in life is to glorify God. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of Christ. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. God has created us to bring glory to Him. Your purpose in life is to bring glory to God. Your purpose in life is to advance or to share the gospel. You hear this one all the time, a command from Jesus in Matthew 28:19-20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When you read that, and I think I've shared this with you before, I've always heard the command of go, therefore, and make disciples. The go is not the command. That's expected. That's just assume that you're going. The command is make disciples, make followers of Christ. What is that? Share the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection, so that people can come to Christ and become Christ followers. That is the command, is to make disciples. That's our purpose in life. God was very clear. Some of Jesus' last words in telling them that, to go and to make those disciples. So we can experience joy in our lives, regardless of our situation or circumstances, when we understand our purpose in life. But number two, we can experience joy in our lives when we focus on Christ and not ourselves. We can experience joy in our lives when we focus on Christ and not ourselves. Understanding what our purpose is, get our eyes off of us and what we're going through, and put our eyes on Christ, knowing that we're in His will. John 3:30 said, He must decrease, and I, excuse me, He must increase, but I must decrease. We must realize that we're slaves to Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:22. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slaves. We don't like the word slaves. It's become messed up. So often we see good things being taken out of context and twisted and made bad. We see it in all aspects of God. It's not understanding what a slave was, a bond slave, one choosing to serve God. God had the responsibility to protect, to provide, to care for. It's not the whipping and beating the way that we've been taught of what a slave is. That's the problem. I mean, so many things of God's has been taken and construed. Take the rainbow. It's beautiful. But there are those who have taken it and made it something ugly. Sex is beautiful the way God designed it, but people have taken it and changed it and made it something bad. The good things of God, the world trying to be satisfied without going to Christ, knowing their purpose, take those things and make them bad. So I want you to understand tonight, regardless of where you are, regardless of the phase of life that you're in, whether it's on the top of the mountain or coming down the mountain or underneath the valley for some of us or headed back up that mountain, you can live with joy when you understand what your purpose in life is. Understanding that we're to create glory and glorify God and to share His gospel, and when we do that, that joy is going to bubble out like a Coke can that you shook up till you just couldn't shake no more and pop that lid. Or I remember a teacher one time come in class. She had a Band-Aid on her chin. She had a 2-liter Coke bottle she had left under the sink and it had gotten warm and shook up. And when she went to open it, she just barely did it and that lid shot up and hit her. Joy can just bubble out. But we got to understand what our purpose is. May you bow your heads. Father God, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your encouragement, Lord, that, Father, even when we're imprisoned to whatever life brings us, that, Father, we can experience that joy that comes from you. Father, when we align ourselves with you, because, Father, it only happens through the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and through faith, receiving what Christ did. And then, Father, you come in and you change us, Lord, and when we align with you, Father, when we truly receive and understand our purpose in life, Lord, it's not about money. Our purpose in life isn't about work. Our purpose in life isn't about coming to church every time it's opened. Our purpose in life is to bring glory to you. Father, our purpose in life is to advance, to proclaim your gospel. And Father, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of where we are, if we're doing those two things, your joy will abound in us. Your joy will pour over. It will affect others around us. There will be so much joy coming out of us. Father, I just pray now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through Holy Spirit. Father, you would show us where we are. Father, you would reveal to us our heart. Father, would you help us through power of Holy Spirit to align with you? Father, would you help us to receive this joy and to live in it? Father, where we're on the right track, and Father, we just need a little bit more, would you help us? Father, I want each and every one of us here tonight, Lord, to live in the joy of Christ in our life, regardless of situation or circumstance. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.